Bay's Tan Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
It's time for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps and the pros across Tampa Bay and the USA. Get your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and your host, Mike Rickard and Ben Botham.
Good morning, Tampa Bay, and welcome to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on this Super Wild Card Saturday, June 13th, 2024. We're live from Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill, brought to you by our good friends at Ice Pick Vodka, Sea Dogs Brewery, where they're serving breakfast daily, and, of course, in our Body Armor High School Headquarters Studios. We're upstairs today, a little blustery, across from Tropicana Field on one of our simulators, the lower level. We'll have a few guests today as part of the show. Across from me, of course, is baseball Ben Botham. I'm going to start calling you Tickets. I had a friend that we called Tickets, but he was a scalper. You'd be a good scalper. You really would. Think about it. You're superb at getting the evaluation of baseball cards, memorabilia. You analyze your wheel deal there. Yeah, I'm going to start calling you Tickets, Ben, in memory of the great one from Kansas City, Ticket Stan.
Hey, I like it, Mike. I had my own ticket scalper over at the Lightning's games. I used to always go over there for a game. I'd never buy tickets. I'd go up to them and buy some tickets right on the glass. It was the best way to do it, Mike. I stayed away from all those
glass
tickets. Yeah, I got tickets, Mike. I got two tickets for, I think it was $120, right on the glass. It was a great time. Had an awesome experience there.
Tickets Ben. That's your new nickname. and speaking of Kansas City, in recognition of Stan Hansel. Every professional coach knew him. All the MLB guys, the NFL guys in Kansas City, University of Kansas head coaches, he was a pain in the butt, but I loved the cat. He could get me tickets to anything. Ticket Stan Hansel. You know how he died? He was out front of the University of Kansas against Oklahoma, pivotal game in basketball, Big 12, Lawrence, Kansas. And he had diabetes. This is the kind of cat he was. And he didn't take his insulin because he wanted to get that last ticket sold. Had a freaking attack and hit his head on the cement and died.
At least he was dedicated.
Doing what he loved.
He was dedicated.
Right out front. This guy even sold tickets to see the Pope in St. Louis. He was selling tickets there. Anyway, so your ticket.
At least it can come with a rosary, Mike.
Yeah, well, he was diehard Catholic. But anyway, hey, we got a great show because we got a great weekend in sports here. Of course, Monday night, it's Bucks Eagles. We'll be heading over there, and so will I on Monday night on this super wild card weekend. And this place will be jam-packed down here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. We've got, as you're well aware of, I tell you every week, we got 104 televisions, and each and every one of them will be on. And there'll be a lot of people here because you can only watch the Miami and Dolphins, your Miami Dolphins and the Chiefs. I bet this isn't making your pops very happy without Peacock.
Yeah, Mike. And there's even U.S. Congressman Patrick Ryan, who sent a letter to the commissioner to try and stop the NFL from only airing the game on Peacock. That's how mad people are about this, Mike. People are revolting against Peacock and NBC.
Well, think about it. And there's a lot of poor people in America that love football this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
Especially think about Kansas City and how cold it is. It's going to be at kickoff 5 below, wind chill factors of 30 below. They can't go out to a sports bar. They probably can't even afford it. And they want to stay home and safe. And they can't watch Kansas City Chiefs. And in Miami, same situation. You know the demographic of football is everything from the impoverished to the privileged.
Yeah, it's going to be rough up there. And
it's BS, actually.
It certainly is. I hate it that they're able to take all these games and put it on there. We even saw Charles Barkley. He went on ESPN, and he was talking about it. And he said that the greed was just unbelievable and uncalled
for. The greed is everywhere right now, unfortunately. Whether you're on the political landscape, as we get ready for the caucuses on Monday in Iowa, what's happening in college football sickens me. Mm-hmm. And this is just another one of those steps in that direction.
Oh, certainly is. It's not great, you know. It's kind of weird though, Mike. We didn't see the same kind of reaction that to the Amazon Prime Thursday night games. Maybe because it's not a playoff game. But
well, and here's the thing with the Prime deal, you get for the price, mm-hmm. you get a lot
you
of entertainment.
Do. You certainly
so
do.
A family looking at their budget can say, you know what? That Prime's not a bad deal. We get movies.
Mm-hmm. And you get shipping as well. You get the actual precisely. Amazon service. So, I mean, there's a lot of bang for your buck.
Because I was pissed at first. I thought, I'm not doing it. And then I looked at what I got, and I'm like, why not, man?
Most Americans are already paying for the Amazon Prime deal anyways to get stuff shipped to their house, even though I'm not much of an online shopper. But, you know, it's not the worst thing ever with Prime, but at least with Peacock, it feels like you're getting ripped off.
Well, let me tell you what they're doing to the bar owners. I was at Sea Dogs yesterday having breakfast, and with the great one, Barry Smith, his birthday, by the way, ate the most unhealthy meal I've ever seen in my life, made by Charlie. But he's got like 32 TVs down there, mm-hmm. and they're charging him. He's not doing it. $9,000 for that one game.
$9,000.
And he's not a sports bar, so he says, I'm not doing it, man.
For one game.
You know, he's DirecTV. We're DirecTV here at Ferg's. Mm-hmm. I don't know Mark's number, but think about it. 104 televisions, $9,000 down there with 32 televisions. You just take it times four. And that number's outrageous for a sports bar. You can make it up, but I don't know how many Chiefs fans and Dolphin fans are in this market to justify it. And it's on a Saturday night, so you might get the spillover consumption of alcohol to cover that cost.
Yeah, you'll probably be able to cover it, but it's crazy that the NFL, a multi-billion dollar, you know, entity, is selling away rights to a TV broadcast for a couple hundred million. You don't think that CBS or somebody else would have paid to have that on their network and
so everybody
on cable?
Yeah, and here's another thing right now across America. This is the frozen tundra. You talk about global warming, my, you know what? Across America, it's freezing. People would stay home and watch it, but now they can't on a Saturday night.
Very sad.
Go ahead, Joe.
If they're going to do it, it's smart that they're putting Mahomes as the guy on Peacock. That'll bring as much attention to it as possible because, I mean, that's the NFL's golden child right now.
Yeah, the NFL and ESPN love, you know,
and the Chiefs in general now with you know, Taylor Swift over there. So yeah, Goodell did a good job getting the Mahomes and the Swifties over to Peacock.
You think Swift will be making an appearance?
I mean, she's
during this cold game.
She's in a suite, so I don't think the weather is going to affect her.
But it's a whiteout. You think the Swifties will make it out there in full force?
I don't know about the Swifties.
Maybe she'll do a little halftime performance. We'll get her out there in a parka or something.
Maybe.
Try and keep her
anything
warm.
To bring, you know, more attention to the Chiefs and Peacock.
I did even see, though, this the Buffalo Bills game. They're asking fans, or they're actually allowing fans to bring cardboard.
Snow shovelers, too.
Well, yeah.
What?
They're allowing fans to bring cardboard to, you know, keep their butts warm in the seats. But also, on top of that, the Buffalo Bills want anyone interested to meet at the stadium at 10 p.m. on Saturday night. They're going to pay them $20 an hour. Complimentary food, a snow shovel will be provided. You have to be 18 years or older, Mike, but they want you to come out there, help shovel some of the snow off the field for the Bills game tomorrow. Or with
that's
65
a hell of an idea.
Wins. Hey, I love it, Mike.
And you can tell people you can work for an NFL team.
That is true. I'll put that
on
your resume.
Yeah, put it on your resume. Work for the Buffalo Bills during the playoffs.
Yeah, I
was an integral piece of their success on Super Wild Card weekend.
I think the Bills need a dome.
I wonder what the food they're providing is. What do you think that the Bills are cooking up for them? Is it a nice Buffalo pizza or something?
Well, no. Come on, man.
Hot dog.
Hey, thank you.
$4 hot dog.
Buffalo, people in Buffalo, and Matt can probably give us what it is. They call it I think a red snapper hot dog.
Red snapper hot dog.
And they're the bomb.
Is it better than a Vienna beef dog?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Mike. You just
and I'm a hot dog connoisseur.
You just made Chicago pretty angry right there.
I'm a hot dog connoisseur.
I'm a soubrette guy personally.
I like soubrettes.
They're pretty good.
But I'm telling you right now that these Buffalo dogs are very, very good. And I'm trying to think of the name of the bar here that all the Buffalo Bills games on. Well, Shrimpy's. Yeah, you can go to Shrimpy's. What I'm thinking about.
Yeah.
One of our sponsors, Shrimpy's. Go over see John for that game. He's got a Buffalo Bills type menu, and he's got one of those dogs on the menu.
Really?
And I had it during football season. I forgot. And it's excellent.
I'll be heading on over there. I love a good dog. And, you know, if they're giving them that, you know, I was watching a video the other day. I saw the Buffalo Bills fans actually cooking a pizza inside of an old filing cabinet before a game.
Bills fans, man.
This guy's actually been going out there for like 15 years, like a retired teacher or something, took his filing cabinet with him, put some coals underneath, put a rack in there, pulls it right out, cooking up a pizza. It's amazing.
Sounds something like something we do in Iowa. Speaking of, you think it's bad in Buffalo. Have you seen what's going on in Iowa right now?
No.
18 inches of snow. 18. I've got friends trying to flee like rats on a sinking boat to get back down to Florida. But it's horrible this weekend. Blizzard conditions. Supposed to have the caucuses on Monday. The temperature is going to be 6 below. That's not without wind chill factor. Winds are about 30 miles an hour, so 40-some below. And that's what you're going to deal with down at Arrowhead Stadium. Comparable. You're only 200 miles south of Des Moines. So that will be interesting as well.
Yeah, even their, I believe their governor even released a statement telling all the fans of the opposing teams not to show up. They said, not only is it going to be cold, but it's going to be embarrassing for you to attend that game. So the governor is
even for the Miami fans, in all seriousness, it's a health hazard. I talked to a young lady that comes here regularly. She's a big-time Dolphins fan, and she has season tickets to the Bucs. She's just an avid fan, but she's a Dolphins fan first and foremost. She had tickets to the game. She's never been in those conditions. She didn't have any clothes. I said, you're doing yourself a favor. Mm-hmm. You will be miserable.
Yes.
Yeah, you can't enjoy the game.
The governor said all extremities must be covered for all fans in attendance.
Well, it's no joke. There's been probably a half a dozen times in my lifetime where I've been close to frostbite. Oof. And if you don't know what you're dealing with, the next step is amputation. So, and it's not a joke.
65-mile-an-hour wind gust.
I know.
That is frightening.
I was thinking the NFL might step in and say, hey, guess what? We're going to have a doubleheader. We're going to have to do something. But they're not going to for that kind of
about
jack.
That greed thing,
and Peacock's going to be pissed if that happens, by the way.
Hey, I'll tell you what, Mike. As long as it's football being played, we'll play in any weather, and I love it.
It reminds me of the good old days being a Green Bay Packer fan.
Playoff snow games are super fun to watch. Mm-hmm.
Well, being a Green Bay Packer fan. The frozen tundra started in 1967 against the Dallas Cowboys, and it was 13 below. Mm-hmm. And they didn't have all the technology they have now to keep the field warm, the sidelines.
Sure.
Look at some of that old footage, and it's absolutely hilarious. And on the winning play, the defensive tackle's name was Jethro Pugh, and the offensive guard was Jerry Kramer, Bart Starr, the legendary Bart Starr. On the one-yard line, 13 seconds left, by the way. He slides in because Jethro Pugh can't get any traction, and he just like pushing him across the ice, and he got in. That was it.
Hey, Mike, all I got to say is make sure to bet the under in passing attempts and the over in rushing yards, because that's all that they're going to be doing is running
sliding,
the ball.
Slip sliding away.
Hey, I bet the under.
I played
on
those conditions in college
as well,
and it is kind of fun. And when you're a defensive back, though,
sure,
think about it. The offensive players absolutely have the advantage, because when you go to cut to react to their move, you're gone, Johnson.
Oh,
you're sliding, you're rallying, trying to get back up. Hey, we do have a great show. We're going to talk more about the NFL in the last half hour. We'll have Ray Kennedy and the big old Oscar Garner III. He'll be at the Detroit Lions game, of course, as they host this weekend. But in between there, we've got the Lady Pirates. Their soccer program is in the house. Coach Jolly, and then we'll talk to Wyatt Ross, a little lightning hockey, and then Brad Richardson will chime in, and we'll talk a little high school sports, and then, of course, the Eckert baseball team. They start their season on the 2nd of February with a home doubleheader at Eckert.
Yeah, baseball is getting up and going.
Being from up north, here we are talking about these weather conditions, and we're talking about an opener in baseball, which is kind of cool.
Hey, for high school sports at least, Mike, this was the first week teams could get on the field, throw the ball, and do a little bit of running. So
did you guys have practice this week?
Yes, we sir. Well, not practice. It's throwing and
unofficial
running. It's conditioning.
Okay.
Yeah.
Catchers and pitchers kind of deal.
Sort of. You know, we run some poles. We long toss a little bit, get the arms in shape, getting ready for January 26th or 22nd, which is the first day of baseball activities.
When's your first game?
It's going to be in February. I got the schedule.
We got to get the team down here before the season starts, because it's impossible to get.
Oh, we certainly will. I'll talk to Coach Adam Moravec and try and get.
I love that cat.
Worked out.
Yeah. So we will. We'll be talking a little baseball in that second hour, and now we're actually going to talk soccer in our weekly segment. And of course, it's the Rowdy segment, brought to you by Body Armor and our good friends at Coca-Cola Beverages. two very busy gentlemen today, Jim Hart and David Wilson. They had to rally due to weather conditions as we talk weather the first 10 minutes of the show. And now they're kind of enough, both of them, to join us before we have our conversation with Coach Jolly and the Lady Pirates on the soccer side of high school sports. What's going on, gentlemen?
Doing great. Doing great. David, you there?
Yep, I'm here. Just trying to fight the wind.
All right, well, Jim, why don't you paint the picture of what's going on today for us as you do such a superb job of, and then and where David's at and all the action that's taking place in the Champions League on this, I guess it's our take number two to try to get it in today.
That's right. Well, this is exciting, Mike, because this is our first ever remote report live from an event. And I'm reporting to you from the press box at Palm Harbor High School. We are right now 20 minutes into the second game, which is between Cypress Creek and Mitchell. I mean, not Mitchell, Cypress Creek and Sun Lake. A big game with two big-time players. One of them just scored her 100th career goal. That's for Cypress Creek. And the other one, and 35th of the season, and the other one just scored her 28th goal for the season for Sun Lake. So it's a 1-1 game right now at the 20-minute mark of the first half in the second girls semifinal. In the first girls semifinal, Palm Harbor made it to the Champions League final at Al Lang tonight by beating Berkeley Press 3-1. So Palm Harbor took an early 2-0 lead. Berkeley battled back, scored to make it 2-1, made a game of it, and Palm Harbor got a late one to put it away. So Randy Eirich will be in the final tonight with the Palm Harbor girls.
David, you got an update for us where you're located and what's happening there?
I do. I'm at the boys' semifinals here at Jesuit High School. First game of the morning was Mitchell and Tampa Prep. Tampa Prep came into the game undefeated, and they stayed undefeated, but Mitchell got on the board first and scored about 18 minutes into the game, and then right before halftime, Tampa Prep scored on a direct kick. Second half started, Tampa Prep scored on the corner kick, and then late in the game, they scored their third goal to take the 3-1 win. So Tampa Prep will once again get into I think this is the second time they've made the finals for the Champions League. The current game going on right now has Osceola playing Jesuit, and we are still 0-0 with about 22 minutes to go in the first half. Osceola's hit a ball off the post already, and Jesuit just hit a ball off the post. So, but nobody scored yet, and the winner here will meet Tampa Prep in the finals tonight at Al Lang Stadium at 6 o'clock.
Well, gentlemen, I'll tell you what, we just made radio history, I'd say, in the Tampa Bay area with two live reports from two icons in the world of high school soccer. You're hired for next year during the season. We're not going to sit at home. We're going to do live reports from the fields with David Wilson and Jim Hart. And or at least what we'll do is we'll train some interns from Eckert and St. Pete College, and we'll send them out. But I used to do that with all sports up north, and I think we've come on to something. I know people, the young ladies sitting in front of me right now from the Lady Pirates, they would listen to a soccer call if it was somebody they knew, I'm certain. And Coach Jolly would. I certainly would if I had some time. But nice, smooth delivery, guys. I'll give you an A for your first time out.
Nice. Thank you, Mike. So, listen, we'll have our people talk to your people, and we'll see if we can set something up.
Yeah, let's see if we can negotiate a deal. We won't, and I promise you, we won't go straight to Peacock when we're making all this big money. Hey, by the way, Jim, why don't you paint a picture of what's happening this weekend for people that have missed our previous conversations and all that you've done and how it's culminated and you know the championships and what's taking place. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Sure. So we are in the final stages of the Lokai Capital Champions League, which is a high school soccer tournament that brings together the championship, the district champions from Pasco, Pinellas, and Hillsborough County, the district champions from last year's state tournament. Thus, that's why it's called the Champions League. It is regardless of school size. So you've got small schools, big schools, medium-sized schools. All they have to do is be district champion. They get in the Champions League. And as you know, Mike, we come down to Ferg Sports Bar in February. and we do a blind draw to make groups of four. So each team is put in with three other teams that play those games. And then if they win their group, they advance to the Champions League semifinals, which is what we're doing this morning. If they win the semifinal, they advance to Allianz Stadium, where the Rowdies play, and play in the Champions League final. That's tonight. And it's really super cool. And as you know also, St. Louis is taking up the Champions League next year, as is South Florida, the Miami, Fort Lauderdale, West Palm Beach area. I do have some breaking Champions League news. I don't even think David knows this. But we got a call from a key high school figure in Detroit, and they want to start a Champions League and join our movement. So that's super cool. So this is a movement that's picking up steam and spreading. Texas, we're going to have a Zoom call next week with some people out of Texas to see if they want to be a part of it. It's free to get in. It doesn't cost the players at schools anything. It's merit-based, and it requires the coaches to collaborate with one another. And it's super cool. David, what do you got to throw on top of that?
That's pretty much it. I think, you know, fortunately we have sponsors that are helping cover all of our costs here. And nobody makes a penny out of this. It's a nonprofit 501c that is just supposed to be helping kids any way we can help them. So, you know, to play the game of soccer and at a big stage, and it's been fantastic so far.
So what's it like sitting up? Are you guys in the press box? You know, like your big time media?
No, Jim is up in the press box. The first game, we didn't have a ball boy. So I was the ball boy for the first game, running up and down the sideline while Jim's got his feet up on the desk eating Dunkin' Donuts or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. You know what, David Wilson? You are a man of many hats. Running around being the ball boy and then preparing for this very, very detailed report. Bravo. Jim, you get a D. You're sitting up there, you know, it's about 78 degrees, your feet you kicked up, and David's doing all the carrying, the heavy lifting today.
Yeah, and while we were talking, we just got our first goal here. Jesuit took a 1-0 lead with about 10 minutes to go in the first half.
Yeah, like the Tigers aren't familiar with success over there. Well, gentlemen, there's three young ladies and, well, four young ladies. For this old man, four young ladies in front of me that have been very, very patient, and they want to talk a little Boca Ciega High School soccer, ladies soccer. Of course, that's my adopted school when I launched this 3 years ago, and so I better take care of the Boca Ciega girls. And you guys have a great day. Are you done with your ball boy responsibilities?
I am. Jesuit is playing now, and they always have enough people here to work and to help out. And they've been great hosts for us here, too. So they take care of a lot of stuff. So me putting in a little bit of time wasn't a big deal.
All right. Well, it's your morning workout, too. So, well, gentlemen, enjoy the morning. It'll be exciting down at L.A. tonight. I'll try to get away and get down there with it might just me, myself, and I, and I'll have to pull you guys in for a little wisdom, or I'll take my Soccer for Dummies book from my office, and I'll come down and join you.
All right, sounds good, Mike. Have a good day.
Take care.
All right, that's David Wilson and Jim Hart. Of course, I call Jim Hart the godfather of high school soccer in this area. He's done an incredible amount to push the show, promote the sport on the girls' side. Hey, you can hang up your phone now, there, fellas, so I can talk to the girls. whoever wanted to, they're concerned. I'm not going to do this properly, and they would interject. But anyway, let's talk a little ladies soccer. Coach Jolly, thanks for bringing the ladies down today. We love having Bogey down. I've got Bogey interns, and I'd be in a lot of trouble. My girlfriend graduated from Bogey. And so I've been to a lot of Bogey events. I'll have to get out to one of your soccer games. But welcome to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us.
Absolutely. So let's start out with you. Give us a little bio, how you got to Bogey, your background in the world of soccer growing up, and where you're from.
Yep, actually, I played here locally. I'm born in St. Pete, born and raised. And I played locally rec until I was about 10 or so. And then I moved into club, obviously, and just really loved it and wanted to play in college. So that was the goal. ended up playing in college at the University of South Alabama.
Great school.
Yeah, really, really good learning time. It was a great time to be there. And go Jags. But then after that, I actually sustained a lot of injuries, which led to kind of an early retirement from playing. And that was what led to coaching. And so I started coaching club back then. That was about 2006, 7-ish. And did club, and then high school didn't come around until 2020, actually, during COVID. And it was one of those things that it kind of fell in my lap, and I was like thinking about it, and I thought, well, it's COVID. What else are you doing? Like, yeah,
exactly.
Let's get another team.
Outdoors.
Yeah, absolutely. At first I didn't really know what to expect. I remembered high school as a player, and I loved it. High school was always kind of.
Where'd you go to high school?
I went to Seminole High, actually.
So did you hear that, Ben Botham?
There you go.
Warhawks in the house. I get plenty of Seminole from him, and then my high school guy is the voice of Seminole sports.
Yeah.
So yeah. Plenty of Seminole conversation around here.
For sure. And it's a great sports school too. So lots of love for them. But so after that I got into bogey, obviously, and that first season really kind of I kind of rediscovered my love for the game on like a deeper level unexpectedly. I did not expect that. Thanks to you guys. So coaching at bogey has been amazing. It's been a really fun experience. And every year I feel like we do something a little bit different, but it's always exciting. Last year especially was a very exciting end to our season. It's just been super fun at bogey, and the girls are great, and I couldn't be happier doing it. I also coach for FYSA. I do the ODP program. So I kind of left club when I found high school. So I kind of transitioned bit into that. And I do ODP in high school now. So.
Well, and you know, one of the things, and I'm Boca Ciega, and I follow all the sports. And I try to get to your programs down here. But it's being in a public school, and you know this, it's the haves and the have-nots. You know, we're just listening to the Jesuit. And look at their freaking facilities. I mean, it's small college type facilities, you know, Palm Harbor, all these places that, you know, are involved in this Champions League. Well, I'm a people of the, a promoter of the people, and I try to work whether it's Gibbs or it's Lakewood or you guys. I want to make sure that they get recognition, St. Pete High. And so to be there takes a lot of motivation and inspiration. And do you get support from your fellow students? Or do they give you any love knowing what you're doing? I mean, I think that's critical. We can start to left or right, and your name and position you play, and nice and loud, like you're talking to them, not some goofy old man sitting across from you.
My name's Sarah Guthrie. I'm mostly midfielder. I kind of shift around sometimes, just where I'm needed on the team. I would say we get some support from the students.
That's beautiful. What year are you?
This year, 2024.
2024. You're going to be graduating. Big step. So how long have you been playing soccer?
I've been playing since little, probably like 5 years old. I played in Kentucky for the longest time. Then I moved down here in about 2021, joined bogey team, and I've loved it ever since.
Where at in Kentucky?
Lexington, Kentucky.
Great city. I went to college at Western Kentucky in Bowling Green, but and played sports, and we went over to Lexington. Loved that town. That probably was tough to leave to come down, but you're in the Sunshine State.
Yeah.
You got water. You got warmth. And so that transition was probably kind of difficult, but when you're a member of a team, it makes it easier, didn't it, to get some friends, and I'm sure Coach was pleased to have you come join the team. What's your favorite memory? You probably don't have a whole lot yet at Bowie. What's your favorite memory playing?
Probably last year, the finals, when we sadly lost, but that was...
But you got there.
Yeah, it was amazing to see it go down. I've never seen that happen in my soccer career or anywhere, really. Like, when we went off into the penalty kickoff, that was amazing to see.
Now, I guarantee the students, well, especially your friends and family, were there and behind that, because, you know, that was a moment you're never going to forget in your lifetime.
Yeah.
So that's one that you'll be old ladies, trust me, and you'll still be reaching out to each other, because I'm an old man and I'm about to come up on my 50th high school reunion, and I still talk to my buddies that I ran track, played football with. It's like it was yesterday. It's bizarre, and you're thinking, sure, Pops. Yeah.
I believe you 100%. I'm excited.
It's the reality of it. It's just the generational aspect of it. So that memory, and I'm sure you guys have the same memory. We'll be there for a long time. So what are your plans after you graduate?
I plan to attend USF. I'm still waiting to hear back. I'm not sure if I'm planning to play sports in college. I might play some club.
Play club.
But just
do something. Have some fun.
Yeah.
They still call it intramurals? Yeah, intramurals. Play some intramurals. That's what I tell you. Stay active. I mean, you obviously love the game, right?
Yes.
And or give back and work with some kids.
Yeah, I would for sure love to do that, too. I just want to focus on school, make sure I have school down, and then focus on the sports.
Well, there aren't too many logical young ladies like you in the world, but bravo, and I'm sure you do well. I guess I can ask this question. No, I won't ask it today. Did you have a great Christmas?
Yes, I did.
Your favorite present, since we're just a few weeks away from Christmas, what was your favorite present or a memory of this Christmas?
My favorite memory, I got to go back to Kentucky and see my family for Christmas.
Did you get any snow?
No, we did not. It snowed right after I left, though.
Yeah, you don't want a lot of snow, but you just want a dusting so it looks like Christmas, right? And Lexington is gorgeous during that time of year with the trees and the rolling hills anyway. Don't want to make you homesick. all right, let's do a shout-out to anybody at home that's listening.
No, I'm not sure, but I'd love to shout out to my family.
Well, shout out to them because we archived the show, and then you'll be able to listen to it and tell all your friends, you know, your radio stars now.
Shout out to my mom and my Aunt Liz.
What's your mom's name?
My mom's name is Jessica.
Jessica, you have a lovely young lady here. Anybody else?
And then my dad.
Kind of important, but you know what I tell everybody? You got mom first. You always go with the mom card. That's laundry. That's food. When Pops is in a bad mood, that's your shoulder to cry on. So what's dad's name?
My dad's name is Brad.
Brad. Well, again, Brad. Well, I'm sure, I guarantee you, Brad's at the front door if anybody knocks on your door, courting you, as they say back in the old days. He'd be keeping a close eye on his little baby, I guarantee you that. All right, any siblings?
Shout out to my brother, Sam. I have one brother.
Older or younger?
Older.
Role model? You guys get along great?
Yes.
He's probably the protector.
Yes, he is. He even played soccer, and that's how I got into it from him.
Cool. So it was a family deal.
Mm-hmm.
All right, young lady. Well, I wish you nothing but success. Thanks for coming down today and joining us. And now you're next. You ready?
Sure.
Nice and loud.
My name is Allie Henriksen. I'm also a senior. We're all seniors. And I played on Bogey since my freshman year, and I've lived here my entire life.
That's not a bad thing.
Yeah,
I just moved here 8 years ago, and it's not a bad thing.
Yeah. I've been playing soccer since I was 5 or 6. I started at St. Pete Raiders, which is, super local, 10 minutes from here. And then I've, bounced around to a couple clubs in the area, Celtic and Chargers, pretty well-known clubs. And, yeah.
And having fun.
Yeah, of course.
What position did you play?
In high school, I played center back.
Okay. Now, again, Soccer for Dummies is actually a book up in my office upstairs here. Center back. Where's that at?
Defense.
Defense. I like defensive players.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then I run upstairs after I have these, or Jim Hart's usually on to help me through it. And then I say, okay, now it makes sense to me. And then I equate it to regular football. Yeah. And you're a defender. I like that.
Yeah. But for my club, I play forward.
Oh, so you're versatile.
Yeah.
Forwards, offense.
Yes, exactly.
So you get to play both.
Yeah, I normally play offense, but for high school, we don't have that many defenders, so I just signed up to play defense.
Well, that's a team member. Coach loves that, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Allie's definitely a utility player, as they say. She can go anywhere.
That means they can use you a lot.
Yeah.
And coaches must have confidence in you. So have you been playing varsity since you were freshman, sophomore?
Yeah. Freshman year I started,
that's impressive.
We had a bigger team freshman year. And I think, after COVID we lost a couple players. We also had my freshman year, we had a lot of seniors that were starters. So going into my sophomore year, it was kind of hard to rebuild our team, but I mean, it's been good ever since. I think our freshman year, my freshman year I got to play forward, cause we had our entire back line was defense.
The way you said that, you obviously like that position better, forward than defender.
No, I definitely do. Everyone knows that.
Did you notice that when she said, I got to play forward?
She already knows.
Yeah, but she's very, she accepts the role for what's good for the team, so props for that.
She likes to put me on forward for 15 minutes every once in a while.
But what happened the other night?
Yeah. Scored?
She scored a goal.
Atta girl.
There we go.
I'm just getting used to the world of soccer. And I actually went to my first Rowdies game. I have a partnership with them, and it's very cool down there. I just have a hard time. It's kind of like hockey. Mm-hmm. You work so dang hard for so long. Final score, 1-0. I'm like, what? He just ran around for a friggin' hour. And one score. Am I keeping you up?
No, I'm good.
One score. So it's very exciting when you score. I mean, so when you score, it's a big deal.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
Your favorite memory since you've been at Bogey? Well, you can go back to your club or anywhere else with the memories.
Oh, Lord, yeah, I don't even know. I mean, a very memorable memory was what Sarah talked about was our finals last year, because we went into the game thinking that we were going to win, and they actually had a player that we had never seen before. So then when we started...
You held a sleeper in on you, did they?
I guess so, and Coach, it was a pretty big
sleeper. You need me to go out there and scout?
I mean, no, I just want to preface this.
I'll cheat like Michigan. I'll go see what they got going on.
Yeah, no, I want to preface, though, like that we talked before the game about you guys are... You need to get out of your heads and not think these things, but they had to go out and kind of get humbled because I warned them.
I could tell
that they weren't weren't mentally ready. But.
So I think by halftime we were down 3-0.
You were?
Yep, we were down 3-0, and then we came back to tie it 3-3, and then we went into overtime, so 15 minutes of overtime, and it went to 4-3 and then 4-4. I think,
and then 5-4, right. And then 5-5.
Yep.
Now that's exciting.
Yep.
Yes.
1-0 to me. I'm taking a nap.
Oh, it was insane.
And then that was 30 minutes of extra time, and then we were still tied after extra time, so we went into penalty kicks.
So
and,
and nine rounds of penalty kicks.
How long did the match last?
Probably way too long.
Yeah,
give me an idea.
Almost 2 hours, roughly, altogether.
Yeah, it was insane.
You had been exhausted at the end.
Yeah, everybody was.
Dehydrated, exhausted, ecstatic, everything.
Yeah. It was one to remember for sure. I tell them still that even as a player, I don't think I ever had a match quite like that. So good, bad,
hopefully
whatever.
Fans came out because they missed. If they didn't, they missed one heck of a
freaking match. We did have a good
match.
Crowd. Yeah, we had a good crowd that night. Yeah.
Anybody video it?
I don't.
God, that would have been great to have that on video, wouldn't it?
I think they video all of our games.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, I think on like some network they do. So
yeah, I think they archive them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that'd be fun to brush the dust off when you're older. Yeah. Say, check out this game. Yeah, yeah. What was your favorite Christmas present or memory?
I also got to go visit my family. They live in Idaho, so.
Idaho, isn't that a gorgeous state?
It is, yeah, in Boise, Idaho, and it didn't rain on Christmas, but it rained, or not rained, it snowed the day after Christmas, which was fun, and we got to go snowboarding and skiing.
All the great things.
And, it was super fun.
I'm from Iowa, so, and people that don't know geography always go, you're from Iowa. So how is it? You guys are really close to the Canadian border. I'm like, you ever looked at a map? But Idaho is a great state, man.
We get that all the time.
I was trying to get my son. He'll play college football at Boise State. He selected somewhere in Iowa, which I was happy about. But that's a great school, too. Boise State, they got a blue football field there.
Yep.
Did you see it?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, good. Want to do a shout-out to anybody at home?
I don't know. I guess my family. Anybody?
I guess my family? Who supported you to this point?
My family, for sure. Yeah.
Okay, so let's start with some names.
My mom, Amy.
Okay.
And my dad, Chad.
Well, they're going to be happy when they listen to the archive.
Yeah, hopefully.
I had to pull it out of you.
Yeah, and that's my parents.
Any siblings?
I have a lot of siblings by association. So I guess all my siblings.
All your siblings.
Yeah.
So you have one of those, what do they call them, melded families?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, trust me. You're looking at the king of it, seven kids. But anyway, yeah. Well, what are your plans when you get done with success at Boca Ciega?
I'm a little bit all over the place.
You're at the age where that's not a bad thing.
Yeah. So I was thinking about playing at one school, but like still waiting to hear back if I got in. But I applied to like maybe like 20 places, a little less than 20. Some of them are like Division III, and which I could probably walk on to. Other ones,
you can.
Yeah, and then other ones are like top Division I. So for the same thing, I would probably do like intramural or club, which I'm like totally fine with as long as I'm playing. So yeah.
Well, the reality is it's only January.
Yeah.
And you'll be fine. Something's gonna come your way. I'm certain of that. You and remember your family every time people ask you. Thanks very much for coming down, young lady. And I saw you had a little yawn there. I do appreciate you, and I'm sure Coach had it. It's Saturday morning. We have to get up and go down there. But thank you for coming to your name and your position.
Hi, my name is Genevieve Huber. I'm defensive. I grew up in Atlanta, Georgia.
Wow, you had a lot of migration down here, with the exception of one resident.
Yeah.
Yeah, I came here when I was like 9 probably, and then I played soccer in Atlanta, and then when we came down here, I just wasn't really into it. I was more into swimming, and then my sister started getting into soccer a lot again, so it kind of like...
Swimming's a great sport too.
Yeah, it's super hard, but it was a lot of fun when I was doing that. And so my sister was playing soccer a lot, and it like influenced me. Like, I always wanted to be like my sister. She's 19, her name's Gabby. So it kind of influenced me. So then when I came from, I was at Osceola my freshman year, and I came to Bogey this year as a senior, or I came to Bogey my sophomore year, sorry. And then I started playing soccer there, and it was super fun. Like, the team is amazing there. Like, everyone is so, like, it's like a big family there. It's a lot of fun.
Well, and that starts at the top. I mean, that's the key. Yeah. What's your favorite memory?
Yeah, I would have to agree with the last season.
Well, I don't know how you could up it.
Yeah.
Well, you will this year, but
hopefully.
Yeah, but I don't know how you could up that memory. But that's the beauty of sport. You can make more memories every year, every game.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about sports.
Mm-hmm.
Your favorite Christmas present or a memory from this Christmas?
I got to see a lot of my family, which...
That's the key.
Yeah, I have a huge family on my dad's side, so we all do a big, like, Christmas Eve thing, and then Christmas Day is a lot smaller, but it's still a lot of fun seeing all my family from Georgia and stuff like that.
Did you go up there or they come down here?
They come down here.
Which is smart.
Mm-hmm.
Get out of Dodge. when everybody's going north, come on down south. Yeah. So you guys probably had a great time.
Yeah.
Let's do a little shout out to your fam.
Okay, I'm gonna shout out to my mom, Virginia, and then my dad, because he also influenced a lot of soccer, because he used to be a soccer coach.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he coached.
Yeah, and you were leaning towards swimming, and your pops was a soccer coach.
Yeah.
He's probably like supportive, but like, come on, man.
Yeah, he actually was really supportive in swimming. Like he.
Well, that's a superb really sport. I'm telling you right now.
Yeah, it was an amazing. I love swim. I wish I didn't stop, but. Sometimes
not enough kids are swimming. So. My girlfriend was a superb swimmer at Bogey, and gives lessons to this day. But it's a lifelong sport as far as working out. That's the beauty of it.
I did club swim for like 9 years, so I was definitely like doing pretty good in it. I definitely could have taken it somewhere, but I don't know. I got to the point where I was like a junior, and I was like, oh, I don't know, like maybe it's not for me anymore, but.
Well, what is it for you? What is for you in the future? What are your plans?
I plan on going to University of Tampa. I applied there.
Great school.
I'm still waiting to hear back. I hear back in February.
Eckerd College is they're my favorite because I spend a lot of time over there.
Yeah.
But that's a huge rivalry. But Tampa's a great school.
Yeah, I applied to Tampa. I was either looking of going on the swim or soccer team, but I'm definitely leaning more towards soccer because it's
versatile.
It's more of like a family type thing. Like swim's more individual, but I'm looking to make good relationships and college and stuff like that. So I think soccer is a good idea.
Well, and in your case, you know, coming from Kentucky, I mean, the family aspect of the team aspect makes life a lot more enjoyable. It really does. Well, I've enjoyed this, ladies. I appreciate you coming down on a Saturday morning. Now you can go home and take an afternoon nap. If you're like anything like my interns, like Joe and these guys, they go to bed about 3:30 in the morning, and then wake up at about 11. I'm looking for some stuff to be done. Oh, we'll get right on. Just got up. Look at the time. So, Coach, give me a little projection for this team.
For this year, I think we just want to finish strong. We finished this week with regular season, and then we have this week, it's Saturday. Yeah, so this week we finish our regular season, and then we go into districts. Thursday this week is our senior night, which is super cool. So yeah, I think
that's emotional. I'm just warning you. You've only been with these girls a little while, but it's emotional. And I'm one of those. I went through a lot of senior nights.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the tough guy, you know, over there, out there at the half court, my son or field or whatever. And you know, you're doing one of these.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep,
you're not going to make me cry.
It's allergies.
Yeah. What the heck is in there?
Yeah. Something's in the air.
I don't know. Ready for that senior night.
Yeah. It's a special group too, right? Because like Allie is the first class of players that I've had since they were freshmen. So that's like as long as I've been at Bogey. So they'll be my first class of freshmen through.
Well, you're going to have a tough time.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. We have a good crew. So
you want to take my shades?
I might borrow those, actually.
Yeah, dark shades. Yeah, exactly.
That's a good call. If I wear those, you guys know what that means.
Well, Coach, keep us posted on what's going on. You got my contact information.
Absolutely.
Now. Any video that you have, get it to us, and I'll have Joey, well, he's a graduate, we'll put it on our Facebook as well. We're looking for high school content, and I just as soon have Boca Ciega, you know, my first high school. I did this for 25 years up north, but my first high school ever interview was the Boca Ciega football team.
There you go, full circle.
Out front, exactly.
Love it.
All right. Well, ladies, good luck. We're following closely. Kick some butt and make some more memories, all right?
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for coming down. That's the Lady Pirates, of course, Boca Ciega. That program has come a long ways, and bravo. Here's a young man that's come a long ways. He's Wyatt Ross. He's become a key part of our Saturday production. He's only 14 years of age. He's my Paul Porter in the future. Paul Porter, of course, home team sports right before us, 9 to 11, right here on the Tan Talk Radio, the voice of the Orlando Magic, and, of course, the voice of the Tampa Bay Lightning. And it's exciting to see that that's the path that Wyatt's going to be on. So how are you, champ?
Yeah, what's up? I'm good. How are you?
I'm great, buddy. We're just sitting here getting some pictures with the Boca Ciega girls taken care of. So let's talk about last week. Let's talk about what's going to happen this week and give us a little insight as you do each and every week.
Yeah, so before I talked about the Lightning, though, I did want to talk about high school hockey. I know you've been wanting to get
Yeah, let's talk high school hockey, brother. Let's talk high school hockey, yeah.
Yeah, so this Wednesday, January 17th at Amalie Arena, it's the high school hockey all-stars. So each team gets to send two representatives from the Cypress Creek Coyotes. My team, Caden Faircloth and Henry Borman, are going. And you can check out all the rosters at lightninghockeydevelopment.com. You can also look at the scores, standings for JV and varsity. So, I mean, definitely that website will get you everything you want to know about high school hockey. And playoffs are coming up, so let's get excited about it.
Hey, Wyatt, make sure you send me the information on how I can get that high school hockey all-star. Body armor just blew up behind me. Sorry, I just got a little shocked there.
No, you're good.
The high school hockey piece of things. Send us that contact information so we can put it up on our website, okay?
All right. But, yeah, that's at Amalie Arena. Make sure to check it out. Speaking of Amalie Arena, the Lightning having a slow start to the week, but they finish it strong. Start the week at Boston. Vasilevsky struggled, only posting a .760 save percentage and allowed 7 goals. Goal scorers included Braden Point, Trent Frederick, Charlie McAvoy, Frederick again, Kucherov, Pasternak, Pointer again, Geeky, DeBrusk, and Coyle. So a rough night, but a good night for the young Bolts. Emil Lilleberg and Jack Thompson both made their NHL debuts in this game, and Kucherov had his 9th 3-point game of the year. Definitely a strong year for Kuch. Then, as I said, Amalie Arena, we welcome the LA Kings. It was a great game for Vasilevsky with a .909 save percentage and a 3-2 overtime win for the Bolts. It was a great comeback from the Bolts with a great game from everyone, scoring 2 back-to-back late goals to send the game to OT. Goal scorers included Deneau, Waugh, Mott, Hagel, and then Perbix with his first goal of the year in overtime. We'd welcome the New Jersey Devils in another 4-3 overtime win. Vasi was solid, stopping 27-30, and the game marked back-to-back OT wins, seemingly reversing earlier year struggles. Goal scorers included Mercer, Glendening, who had 2, Point, Bratt, Bastion, and then Radish with the OT winner. Some roster moves. Gage Kinkoves played in his first NHL game in the win, as well as Mark Crozier, Jack Thompson being called up from the Syracuse Crunch. Look at the standings. The Lightning now sit at 4th in the division, 10 points behind the first-place Boston Bruins, who we took the rough loss to, and are 15th in the league. look at the road ahead. Tonight, you can check out the Bolts playing the Anaheim Ducks at home. So if anybody happens to be in the area, make sure to go and support your Bolts. Then on Thursday, the Minnesota Wild comes down, hoping to get another win there, a West Coast win. And finally, we travel to Buffalo on Saturday to take on the Sabres, starting off hopefully a strong week and hopefully getting this 2024 year off to a hot start. Finally, the point leaders, Kucherov leading with 69 points, not only on the team, but in the league. And Braden Point just behind him, well, not just behind him, quite a ways behind him with 43 points. The goal leader, no surprise here, also Kucherov with 28, point behind him with 20. And the assist leader, who would have guessed it, Kucherov with 41 assists and Hedy behind him with 33.
Kucherov, obviously the MVP of this team in the 23-24 season, without a shadow of a doubt. And right now, you're looking at that Atlantic Division. There's just a few points on the outside for that wild card position, but we got a lot of season left.
Oh yeah, right now it's definitely a tough race. So hopefully the Lightning can string together some wins. But right now, it's a battle between about five or six teams all within 4 points of each other. So it's definitely going to come down to the wire. But the Lightning are actually only 3 points behind Toronto, who are third in the division. And if we can beat them, then we won't have to worry about fighting for a wild card. So hopefully the Bolts can get rolling, not need to worry about that wild card. But if they do, it's going to be a tough, stressful battle all the way until the 82nd game of the year.
Well, young man, as always, great preparation, delivery, and I loved the fact that you opened up with the high school covers because nobody's touching that. Everybody, you know, we can get a little bit of Bolts information, but not as well as Wyatt Ross does it at the young age of 14. But to deliver that high school stuff, so keep working on the high school for us as well, young man. Are you still playing too?
Yeah, still playing.
How many times a week do you get on the ice?
Usually it's about, for the high school team, it's usually about once or twice, but in total it's probably about four times a week on the ice. I play on the JV Cypress Creek team, and right now we're doing really well. Still, we only have one loss on the year, and we've clinched a playoff spot. So maybe anybody wants to come and check us out. I think playoffs are at Advent Health Center Ice, looking to bring home the first high school championship for the first year of Cypress Creek hockey.
Hey, tell your pops to get some pictures if he's there, and send them over to me, or you do that, and let's start showcasing high school hockey because it doesn't get a lot of love in the world of media here, and we'll lead the charge since we have you on board. How about that?
Yeah, let's do it. I'm excited to work on it.
All right, my man. Have a great weekend. Watch a little football. Go Bucks, right?
Oh, yeah, go Bucks, and I got to throw it in there. Let's go Steelers.
Oh, I forgot your Steelers. That's a big game. I forgot. Penn State, Steelers. No. Steelers and Buffalo. That's going to be a tough challenge for you, buddy. Don't get too disappointed.
Yeah, well, I'm used to nail biters going down to the end, so when Mason Rudolph throws a 98-yarder to George Pickens, I won't be too worried about it.
All right, you're dreaming, but I will talk to you next week.
See you next week.
All right, Ben, 14 years young, kid's got that hockey figured out. I think he's got everything figured out except for that pick of his Buffalo, his Pittsburgh Steelers going to Buffalo. That's not happening.
I don't believe so. I was over there.
What's the coldest temperatures you ever been in?
Let's see here. I was over in, maybe Colorado. I was up in Pikes Peak. Oh, pretty cold.
Very nippy.
Maybe in the, I don't know, 20s?
Oh, that's nothing compared to that's 50 degrees warmer. Hey, we'll be back. Hour number two, Brad Richardson, Oscar Garner III, and the Eckerd men's baseball team. And then Brad and I will break down a hot stove conversation. We'll be back right now on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network.